as we read from Psalm 94, beginning with verse 1. O Lord, the God who avenges, O God who avenges, shine forth. Rise up, O judge of the earth. Pay back to the proud what they deserve. How long will the wicked, O Lord, how long will the wicked be jubilant? They pour out arrogant words. All the evildoers are full of boasting. They crush your people, O Lord. They oppress your inheritance. They slay the widow and the alien. They murder the fatherless. They say, the Lord does not see. The God of Jacob pays no heed. Take heed, you senseless ones among the people, you fools. When will you become wise? Does he who implanted the ear not hear? Does he who formed the eye not see? Does he who disciplines nations not punish? Does he who teaches man lack knowledge? The Lord knows the thoughts of man. He knows that they are futile. Blessed is the man you discipline, O Lord, the man you teach from your law. You grant him relief from days of trouble till a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not reject his people. He will never forsake his inheritance. Judgment will again be founded on righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will take a stand for me against evildoers? Unless the Lord had given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death. When I said, my foot is slipping, your love, O Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. Can a corrupt throne be allied with you, one that brings on misery by its decrees? They band together against the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord has become my fortress and my God, the rock in whom I take refuge. He will repay them for their sins and destroy them for their wickedness. The Lord, our God, will destroy them. God's word for our consideration today. You may be seated. This morning I'd like to speak about antidote to anxiety. And I'm sure if all of us are honest this morning, we would admit that none of us is totally immune from anxiety. You know, science has confirmed there is a link between mindset and disease. A person's psychological state is a prominent factor in their health. Attitude, social networks, and a healthy diet are woven together in their importance for good, not only mental and physical health, but I also believe spiritual health. Words like forgiveness, faith, optimism, happiness, and perseverance, those words lower stress. And we know that stress is linked with the risk of heart disease, high blood pressure, infection, and other stress-related conditions. And these spiritual traits that those words represent also have been proven to lessen the severity of illness and speed recovery when illness occurs. We realize as we begin a new year, 2016, this could be a great year. It could be a good year. It could also be a year of national tragedy and sorrow. Some years are times when we grieve as individuals. And Psalm 94 is in part about grief. It's composed of two parts. There is a national lamentation in verses 1 to 15 and an individual lament in verses 16 to 23. If you look at verses 1 and 2 again, you would see that the Lord's vengeance is not vindictive, but it is a response to evil behavior. Evildoers have their own rewards, namely what they deserve. And we see a prayer in these two verses for the Lord to shine forth. And this is a prayer for God to have a theophany, when the Lord is going to appear in royal splendor one day to bring justice to this world that we live in that's filled with so much anarchy. These two verses are a prayer for God to intervene and restore some type of a social equilibrium. And when he returns, he is going to rise up as the earth's sole judge. Notice in verses 3 to 7, we find the psalmist reflecting on arrogant people. Arrogant, wicked people. They excel in boastful rejoicing about their power and their terror. They fail to protect the weak. And how often in recent years have we seen on television those horrific clips of those propaganda videos of beheadings and tortures and burning people alive that come from Boko Haram, from ISIS, or from the Taliban in Afghanistan? The Bible says in verses 3 to 7 that their speech, these arrogant people, their speech is like a spring that just gushes forth nothing but insolent words. And whenever and wherever the ungodly are harassing God's children today, whether it be in Africa, whether it be in the Middle East, or whether it be in Asia, they are also brazenly affronting the Lord. And the Lord takes note of the deprivation, the prejudice, the injustice, and the affliction that His people suffer. And God has promised that He will care for His people. Psalm 37:7 encourages us to be still before the Lord and to wait patiently for Him. We see in verses 8 through 11 of Psalm 94, the folly of the wicked being rebuked. They lack the wisdom which is based on reverence for God. The wicked foolishly attempt to establish their own little independent fiefdoms on this earth, believing that there isn't a God who is one day going to call them into account. They brazenly hold that God has sort of closed His eyes, that God has a blind eye to their conduct, and that God is not interested in all the suffering that they inflict. But they fail to acknowledge, according to the psalmist, that the Lord God knows the hearts of every human being. And God's hearing and seeing will ultimately result in their eternal judgment. In verses 12 to 15, we see God's given His own people a clear form of wisdom and revelation in His law. And it says that everybody who responds to God's instruction is called blessed. That's why I asked you at the beginning of this service to wish each of you a blessed new year, a year set apart for the Lord. How good and how wise it is to learn of God in submissive obedience to His word. The people, the psalmists that are talking about, people who are spiritually submissive, they eventually are going to experience relief from whatever evil disasters are plotted against them. God's justice is going to eventually catch up with these miscreants, and they're going to be toppled and they're going to be thrown down. God's commitment extends. Did you notice what it says there? His people by covenant. Theirs is the promise of God's ordered kingdom, not the disorder we see in the world today, by which all of the upright in heart continually seek. We're encouraged in Psalm 37:5 to commit our way to the Lord. Back in Psalm 94, verses 16 to 19, the psalmist prays again. He prays for divine vindication. He knows that he can only count on the Lord to rise up and to take a stand as the ultimate judge. The psalmist thought he was on his last legs. And I know many of us have had that experience. But God's covenant sustained him when he thought he was on his last legs. When he sensed he was slipping, he experienced the Lord's helping hand through the support of his love. And the psalmist, though, he confesses that he was nearly overwhelmed. What was he nearly overwhelmed with? He was nearly overwhelmed with anxiety until the Lord's consolation came to rescue him. Instead of arrogantly and possessively harboring our anxieties and our worries, through prayer, and I would suggest that more effective than silent prayer is audible prayer, we need to give these anxieties and worries to the Lord. We read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. And I believe the Lord has provided for us not one, but many antidotes for anxiety. Vicki Griffin, in a May 2012 issue of Ministry Magazine, indicated that a positive mindset is as important to good health as, now get this, exercise and diet. And she offered 7 suggestions that may serve as antidotes to anxiety. The first one is, now I want to see if you can guess this one. What am I doing? Smile! And I want to see everybody smile for once. Okay? And smiling. You know, it doesn't cost anything to smile, right? To smile is free, but it's priceless. You know what smiling does? It lowers stress hormones up here in the brain. Some believe that smiling can even build up our immune systems. Proverbs 12:25 says, "An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up." And we're commanded in Psalm 37:4 to delight ourselves in the Lord. Now, I challenge you, and I want you to see me after church, if you can find a verse in the Bible where it says we're supposed to be sad. You find a verse in the Bible where it says we're supposed to frown. You find me a verse in the Bible where it says we're supposed to be anxious in the Lord. And you won't find them. And could I suggest, the next time you get on a ramp to get on I-81 or I-70, you just put a big smile on your face and see what the other drivers think when you're doing that, right? Okay. Number 2, express gratitude. You know, people who express gratitude live longer and healthier lives. Mentally rehearsing or writing a list of daily blessings is a power buffer against not only mental depression, but also about illness. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 encourages us. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and what else? Your minds in Christ Jesus. Number 3, focus on the positives. You know, continuing to rehearse again and again and again sad events or worrisome thoughts has been linked to many forms of depression. Do we control our attitudes, or do our attitudes control us? And when we choose to concentrate on positive solutions and opportunities, what's going to happen to those negative thoughts running around those rabbit trails up there? Those negative thoughts are going to be reduced. Number 4, and this is hard, and many times you can't do it if you don't ask God to help you. Number 4 is forgive. Harboring negative thoughts and harboring grudges hurts us, because when we do that, it increases the stress hormones and even increases our blood pressure. Now, you're probably saying, "Pastor, there's some stuff that goes on and I just can't accept it, and it's horrible and it's terrible." But guess what? I agree. There are many behaviors that we're confronted with that are inexcusable. But I don't know of any behavior that God cannot help us to forgive. Forgiving allows us to let the offense or the injury go. And the healing spirit of forgiveness is a gift that I think God will give anybody who is seriously asking Him for it. Number 5, don't give up. You know, successful Christians are not mistake-free, are they? They just refuse to quit. Every one of us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can change, we can learn, we can improve. We can persevere in spite of challenges and failures. We can be inspired by the success testimonies of other people. And you know what? I know we don't like it. There's this little C word called criticism. But we can learn from criticism. We can have a more resilient, wholesome attitude. And we can put the oil of enthusiasm back into the mechanics of everyday living. Number six, we can take time to nourish our brains and our bodies. Now, I know some of you are saying, Pastor, yeah, I did a little bit too much of that nourishment around Christmas. I stepped on the scales and I was shocked. We know that nutrition and lifestyle can affect brain function, can affect our moods, can affect our memory, can affect our learning. We know that eating whole grains, fresh fruits and vegetables, nuts and beans have positive long-term mood and brain-boosting effects that you can't eat or you can't gain as you eat junk food. Drinking water instead of lots of caffeine and these sugary-laden beverages is a natural way to become more of an alert person. Adequate rest is essential to resist fatigue, irritability, and temptations. It's been demonstrated that daily exercise, especially if you can exercise in the sunshine and fresh air, has a calming, stress-lowering effect that is often more powerful than some antidepressants. In the Northeast, codfish are not only delectable, but codfish are a big commercial business. And there's a market for Eastern cod all over the United States, especially in places far away from the Northeastern coast. But this public demand for cod caused shippers to have a problem. At first, they decided to freeze the cod, ship them out, but freezing them took away much of their flavor for the customers. So then they experimented with shipping the cod alive in tanks of seawater. But the results turned out to be even worse. Not only was it more expensive to ship them, but the cod still lost its flavor, and moreover, the cod became soft and mushy. Their texture was seriously affected by that means of transport. And finally, some creative soul solved the problem in a most innovative way. The codfish were placed in a tank with their natural enemy, the catfish. And from the time the cod left the East Coast until it arrived at its westernmost destination, those ornery catfish chased the cod all over those tanks. Now what happened? When the cod arrived at the market, they were as fresh as when they were on the East Coast. There was not a loss of flavor, nor was the texture affected. If anything, it was better than before. I firmly believe, as we begin this new year, 2016, that God does not want any of us to be known as the frozen chosen. And I don't believe that God wants us to be soft and mushy Christians. Instead, I believe that God wants us to be strong, to keep moving forward, and utilize every spiritual gift God has given to us. Number seven, help others. Psalm 37:3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Isn't that what helping others is? It's doing good. Offer to help one in some way. You know, it might take less than a minute to open a door for someone, but that little courtesy can help others while boosting our own health. Many studies have demonstrated that people who spend regular time helping others in service not only cut their overall risk of premature death, but also improve their quality of life. Notice in Psalm 94, verses 20 and 21, it does seem at times that the reign of corruption, the unjust decrees, and the oppression of the righteous live side by side with God's reign and purpose. But the psalmist reaffirms the fact that evil human autonomy can never ultimately coexist with God's coming kingdom to planet Earth. Every human government is to a degree destructive. Think about that. Whereas the kingdom of God is restorative. In verses 20 and 23 of Psalm 94, I think these are words as a call for the ungodly to repent. For the Lord is a fortress. The Lord is a refuge for everybody who takes Him seriously. The Lord is going to repay the wicked of all the ages for their boastful words and their oppressive acts. And the Lord's vengeance, according to Psalm 94, verses 22 and 23, will be ultimate and complete. What is chronic anxiety? Chronic anxiety is the opposite of trust. And trust in God can be a most potent antidote against anxiety. And may this testimony of the psalmist in Psalm 94, verse 19, become for us this new year a personal spiritual antidote for overcoming anxiety. When anxiety was great within me, Your consolation brought joy to my soul. I'd invite you to turn to an insert in your bulletin, and you will see a chorus here based on Isaiah 55, verse 12, called "You Shall Go Out with Joy." And I invite you to stand as we sing two times the insert, "You Shall Go Out with Joy."